1, Psalm 121. Now, Wednesday night, we're having our annual Thanksgiving devotional. And there will be songs to sing, scriptures to read, prayers to pray. There is a list that will be right back there on the table. I need men to sign up. I need 12 men to sign up on that list. There will be 4 songs, 4 scriptures, and 4 prayers. Of course, plus the invitation song, but there will be 4 songs during the program, 4 scriptures read, and 4 prayers prayed. And so we would encourage guys, hurry up and sign up, because we don't want you to miss out on that. Some of you wanted to participate in the prayer service that we had recently, but did not get your name on the list in time. And so we want to give you that opportunity. So please, by all means, sign up for that. All right. A lot of exciting things going on. We're glad to have guests with us tonight. We always appreciate guests. And you're our honored guests, and we appreciate you being here. Psalm 121, this is 8 short verses. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. I'm reading from the New King James Version. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. This is a pilgrim's psalm. If you'll note, if you're looking in the King James Version, in the little note in parentheses under your heading of this psalm, many of the Bibles will say a psalm of descent, degrees. If you're looking in the New King James or other translations that have the parenthetical explanation, it will say a song of ascents, A-S-C-E-N-T-S. And basically, this is a psalm that worshipers would sing as they made their way to Jerusalem to participate in the 3 great feasts every year, Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And so this would be the type of psalm that they would sing as they were traveling, a pilgrim's psalm. Now, with that in mind, I'd like for you to recognize that whenever people were traveling in the ancient days, there were dangers. A certain man going out from Jericho fell among thieves. Remember that? The Samaritan helped him. But he was just traveling, and he fell among thieves, and they beat him, they robbed him, they left him for dead, and they went on their merry way. Well, there were dangers whenever someone was traveling. And so this psalm is talking about God's help and God's protection along the way. Now, verse 1 is not, as it appears, a declaration of hope, but rather it's a cry for help, a cry of despair. The psalmist is telling us that danger is out there. It's out there. It's waiting for an opportunity to pounce on the weary traveler. And so he says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. Why would you need help? Because there's danger all around. There's danger. Now, folks, we live in a world and where we are surrounded by danger. There is danger on every side. We often, and especially in our rural setting, in our small town community, we are many times insulated from so much of the danger. Faye and I got lost at night on the south side of Chicago. We didn't know if we'd ever see any of you guys again. This was several years ago. Jyoti was with us, and we were at South Holland Congregation, spoke that night, and they said, now when you go down here, you be sure and go. And I still don't know which way he said. I don't know if he said right or left, but we obviously didn't go that way. And we ended up driving down through this area, and it was not nice. It was not all that well lit, but there were blue lights everywhere. Never did we find a space where there was a single patrol car. There would be at least two or three at every incident. And within a mile on this stretch, we saw four incidents in progress, four situations where police were there in force. And Faye turned to Jyoti and said, "It's been nice knowing you." She did. I'm not making this up. He said, "Sister," she said, "I don't know that we're ever going to see Alabama again." Well, we did, obviously. But that's a scary place. It's a scary place. Did you know there were more murders in Chicago this last year than any city in the United States? Isn't that something? That's terrifying. And there's violent crime and all this. So yes, there's danger everywhere. There's gang violence in major cities. There's drug violence. There's drunk drivers and distracted drivers, texting drivers. On 72, this young man coming at me the other day, he wasn't paying. I could see him as he goes by me. He went by me in the turning lane, traveling east in the turning lane. And I'm shifted over to the outside lane, and he didn't once look up. He was looking down as he was going down that interstate at 60 miles an hour. Danger. There's danger of every kind. There's dangers of temptation. There's dangers of persecution. There's dangers of accident and injury. Yes, there's dangers of sickness and health issues. There's all kinds of dangers that can threaten our lives in this world. No shortage of them. And so the psalmist is saying God is our help along the way of life. And so he's telling us that in spite of the dangers lurking in the hills, the pilgrim turns to one source for help, and that's God above. And of course, he's answering his own question when he reminds us that the Lord is our help. From whence comes my help? Verse 2, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now I want to remind you that all of us are pilgrims. We don't live here. We don't live here. This is not our home. This is not. We have a short time here. And some of you that are getting up there, and I'm seeing more gray hair now in this church than I've ever seen. Let's face it, I think some of us are starting to realize it a little bit better the closer we get to that day when our heart quits beating. The closer we get to that day when we stop breathing and we go home. This is not our home. We build houses, we buy land, we do business. We make friends and we make plans. But this world is not our home. We're just passing through. We're pilgrims on a journey. And so God is our help from above. He's the answer to our need. He's the one that provides us the way and the means of living in this world. The pilgrimage for all of us tonight began when we named the name of Christ in faith and in repentance. We're baptized for remission of our sins. When we came to Jesus seeking salvation, seeking freedom, seeking rest, that's when our journey began, and it will continue until we step out of this life and into eternity. That's how long this journey is going to continue. And oh, the glories that await us in heaven when we finally get home. It's going to be worth it all. You can count on that. But along the way, there are dangers around every corner. There are dangers that threaten to derail us, to distract us, to turn us away from God. And we need to be aware of that. There are thieves that would rob us of our peace and our joy and our victory. There are sins that would quench the fire of God in our souls. There are problems that would strip us of the joy of living for Jesus. We need to realize that. Now, I've been through some difficult times, and I'm sure you have too. Times when dangers of every kind, not necessarily physical danger, but spiritual dangers, were all around me. And there have been times when I wondered, how am I going to get through this? How am I going to get through this? Some of them since I became an elder. I told Stan the other day, I said, "You and I can run away." And he said, "No, we can't. No, we can't." Henry, Hugo, Melvis, Harold. Oh my guys! I don't know how y'all done this so long and so well. But I'll tell you what, my respect for y'all just it keeps going up. It keeps going up. But I'm gonna say this: it's worth it. It's worth it all. It's worth the struggles. It's worth the frustrations. It's worth the failures. It's worth the setbacks. It's worth the disappointments. It's worth the struggles. Because heaven's going to be our home. And we're going to help a lot of people get there. That's what we're doing, brethren. As brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm not talking just to elders. I'm not talking just to deacons. I'm talking to all of us. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we're going to help a lot of people get to heaven. We're going to help each other get to heaven. That's what it's all about. That's what this struggle is about. And we don't need to lose sight of that. So there's problems that come. But like the psalmist said, God is the source of our help. He is our hope. He is our strength, greater than any problem imaginable. So tonight, hang on. Help is coming. Hang on. Help is coming. Verse 2, the psalmist says that God is our creator. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The help can't come from the hills. Idolatry is where they worshiped in the hills. The idol worshipers, they would go up into the hills and they would build these temples and they would build these groves and they would build these places of pagan worship. And the help does not come from the hills. The help comes from above. Real help. He turns his focus on God. He's not referring to a friend or an ally, but he's referring to the creator of the universe who notices us, who sees us as we face the doubts and the fears and the frustrations, who sees us as we're disappointed in each other, as we fail each other and stumble and let each other down. He sees us. He notices us when we're afraid. We don't know which way to go or what to do. He sees us when we struggle with a habit that we're trying to break, or we struggle with a relationship that seems to be falling apart. God sees us through all these things. He notices us. The creator of the universe. Our help comes from above. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Our helper is the very one who stood on the edge of nothing and made everything by the word of his power. That's the source of our help. Verse 3 says, "He's our comforter." He is our comforter. What is that? God, he says, he will not allow your foot to be moved. This verse tells us that the Lord is not allowing our foot to slip. He knows how easy it is for us to step into sin. He knows how easy it is for us to slip and to slide into discouragement. But God has promised us. He has promised us he will be with us and he will take care of us. Cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Hebrews 13 verse 5. You know, the Lord never made a house that fell. He never made a foundation that crumbled. I've seen a few houses that fell down. Man, I saw a church building in India, and they had heavy rain. Oh, that sounds nice, doesn't it? Heavy rain. But this thing had a bunch of rain, and a whole wall just caved in. I mean, it was a thick block wall made with bricks and blocks this thick. The wall was this thick, and the whole thing just fell. And if anybody had been under it, surely they would have died. Just there it went. Foundation was weak, and the wall just gave way. God never has built anything that has failed. He's never built a foundation that crumbled. And so God is able to take care of us. We need to remember that it is God who lifted us out of the filth of sin and has established our goings, as Psalm 40 verses 1 through 3 makes clear. Now, when we think about God comforting us and helping us along the way, the New Testament depicts the Holy Spirit as the comforter. John 16 verse 13. He's pictured as the one who comes along beside us to help us, to assist us during this journey. And he keeps on helping us stand for the Lord. That's what he does. Now, how he does it is his business. That's his business. I'm not getting into that. Nobody tells God what he can and can't do. Nobody tells God what he does and doesn't do. You don't do that. But we have the promise in Scripture that the Holy Spirit is with us and comforts us and aids us in ways that we cannot even find words to express. And so we rejoice in that, and we take comfort in that promise. Verse 3, the second part of the verse, and verse 4, he who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Not only does the Lord know how easy it is for us to slip, he knows how easy it is for us to fall asleep. What happened in the garden when Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his three closest friends, took them to the garden, the darkest time of his life, the absolute darkest time of his life, and he takes them with him, and I'm going to go a little further and pray. Watch for me. Watch with me. And he comes back and they're asleep. And this happened three times. And what did Jesus say? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Oh my. See, I know how it is sometimes. I know. Some of you look a little sleepy right now. I know how it is. It's hard to stay awake all the time. And there are times when the body just demands that we close our eyes. This morning, right before I came down to sit down, Elijah was sitting there under Faye's arm. Okay, he was gone. He was gone. And he was under Faye's arm, and she thought, well, Robert needs a place to sit down. So she started moving him. He was a limp dish rag. She started moving him and getting him out of the way. So I could have sat right there where Henry's sitting, but she was going to move him and get him out of the way. Listen, sleepiness comes, and sometimes it's just hard to resist it. We get sleepy. And if I keep talking about it, I'm going to put you to sleep. I know it. So I'm going to move on. But the point of it is, God knows about our weakness. He knows that there are times when we grow weary. There are times when we want rest. And there are times when we let our guard down and we get caught napping. One of the dangers of being the person on third watch was that was the darkest time of the night. That was the time of night when you wanted to sleep more than any other time. It was easy to do first watch. That was 2 to 4 hours from bedtime till you were relieved about midnight or so. And then second watch. Well, that's pretty tough. But that third watch, that's from about 2 in the morning or so until sunup. Good night, man. That's tough. That's tough. There are times when we get caught napping. That was the perfect time for the enemy to attack, was during third watch. But it's not so with the Lord. He's always awake. He's always active on our behalf. He does not grow weary. He does not tire. He does not fall asleep at the switch. God is always there for us, day or night. So you don't have to worry. There's no need for you to fret. There's no need for you to be losing a moment's sleep because of the problems that are in your life. God is at the controls. He is awake, He is aware, and He cares. What more could we ask for? What more could we ask for? When you go in for surgery, you put your life in the hands of that anesthesiologist and that doctor that's going to be performing that procedure on you. I'm not going to get graphic. Henry loves it when I do that. I'm not going to get there. But I'm just saying, you're putting your life in their hands. You have to trust them a little bit. And you lay there on that table and they inject you with that good juice and you drift off into la-la land. And you don't know what they're doing to you. They may be drawing on you with a magic marker and taking pictures. You don't know what they're doing. But you're trusting them with your life. Well, why could we trust a man with our lives or a woman with our lives? And then we have so much troubles trusting in God with our lives and with our souls. Huh? Why would that be so hard? We need to learn to trust Him and recognize that God is our helper. He is our constant helper. You can count on Him. He does not stumble. He does not slumber. He does not sleep. God is always on the job. Jeremiah made this statement in Lamentations 3:23. Great is thy faithfulness. You can count on God. During World War II, the Germans were bombing London mercilessly. It's like almost every night there were bomb raids that would come through London and just leveling major parts of that city. And there were bomb shelters everywhere and a lot of subway tunnels that people would get in and just trying to survive this unbelievable flood of bombs that was just coming down and blowing everything to pieces. After one terrible attack, the people of London began searching through the rubble looking for the dead and the injured. And after a while, everyone had been accounted for except for one old grandmother. Mrs. Smith was missing. And they searched frantically for her, and someone finally found her in her bedroom, in her bed, asleep. And they woke her up. They were shocked. Mrs. Smith, how could you sleep with all these bombs dropping around us like this? And her answer was indeed priceless. She said, well, the Bible says that he who keeps Israel never slumbers nor sleeps. And I decided there was no use in both of us staying up, so I just went to bed and left it in the Lord's hands. Wow. Now, folks, that's faith right there. That's faith. And that's the kind of thing we need to have in God. We need to trust Him. Instead of worrying and getting gray hair over the struggles of our life and the uncertainties, and we want this and we want that and we feel we need this so badly, trust in God more than your fears and your frustrations. Trust in God with all your heart. God is the source of our help. God is the strength of our help. Look at verse 5 and 6. He protects us from our enemies. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. I love what I'm about to share with you. I just recently learned about this, and I just had to share this with you. In ancient times, warriors carried two items into battle. They carried typically in their left hand a shield and in their right hand a sword. That's the way they were trained. There were very few left-handed swordsmen. Most people had the shield in their left hand and they had the sword in their right hand. And the left hand could ward off blows, but the right hand, while you're trying to attack, an enemy could attack you. While you're facing another enemy on the... instead of this side, you can ward them off. But on this side, you're at risk. This is in danger. And this is what he's saying. The Lord is like your shadow. He is a shade on the right hand. God is protecting us where we can't protect ourselves. You know, there are things that happen to us that we have absolutely no control over. But God is there. God is with us. Cancer. Heart disease. Liver failure, you name it. Medical conditions that happen to us that we have absolutely no control over. And yet God is there. He is that shade. He is that protector on the right hand, on the right side. Man, isn't that beautiful? God protects us. And we never know where the attacks are going to come from, do we? We don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know where it's going to happen. We don't even know how it's going to happen. But let's face it. Our enemy knows our weaknesses. He knows where we're strong, and he knows where we're weak. And sometimes they attack us where we're weak. Sometimes they attack us even where we're strong. Elijah is renowned for his courage as he stood against those prophets of Baal and Ashtaroth on Mount Carmel, and yet he ran for his life from the woman Jezebel. Moses' great strength was in his meekness, his submission to God, and yet in anger he smote the rock and was forbidden to enter the promised land. Abraham's greatest strength was his faith in the Lord, and yet he went into Egypt in pure unbelief. The whole point is this: we're going to be attacked, and we don't know where it's going to come from or how it's going to come, but it never catches God off guard. Are you listening? It never catches God off guard. He always is ready for any attack that comes. God protects us from attack. He protects us from our enemies. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. This refers to a double attack. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. What's that mean? Well, the psalmist is talking about two different sources of harm that were common to an ancient soldier. Sunstroke was a constant threat. They had armor. They had heavy bags that they had to carry. And it was very easy in that part of the world especially to get sunstroke. And this could be fatal, where your body just heats up to the point that you just shut down and you can't function. And so this heat stroke was a very dangerous condition that could kill a soldier. But another one that I'd never heard of this till I was doing some research on this. Have you ever heard of moonstroke? Moonstroke? Well, it was a common belief all the way up until the 18th century. It was a common belief that you could get a moonstroke. And it had nothing to do with an attack on the body, but it was an attack on the mind. It was that crazy effect the moon could have upon you. And it's from where we get the term lunatic. Lunatic, or as they say in India, lunatic. I don't know why they do that, but lunatic. But a lunatic is someone, and of course, you know the stories of the werewolves, you know, and then the stories in the emergency rooms, how, by the way, no werewolves, okay? But the stories in the emergency rooms, when the moon is full, the crazies come out. Remember that? We've heard that over and over again. There may be something to it, folks. I don't know. But I do know this. God is ready, able, and willing to take care of us in the heat of the day or in the craziness of a full moon. We can stand up against anything, physical or mental. Listen, people, physical or mental, if God is with us. If God is with us. We are subject from attack without. We're subject to attack in our bodies and in our minds. But God is able to protect us and guard us from these attacks, both from the inside and the outside. God is our strong tower, our refuge of strength. Psalm 91, verse 4, Psalm 18, verse 2. And finally tonight, God is not only the source of our help, God is not only the strength of our help, God is our security. He's our security. In front of a lot of houses, you'll see a sign, ADT, protected by ADT. That's the only one I can remember right now. There's several security companies out there, protected by this one, protected by that one. And those signs are to warn would-be attackers, burglars, thieves, looters, or whatever, that if you come on these premises and you try to break into this house, you're in for a surprise, buddy. Reminded me of that little story of that little lady, little widow lady. She loved reading the Bible. She loved studying the Bible. She studied the Bible all the time. And one night she's in her house alone and she hears glass break in the living room and she goes out there with her Bible and sneaks up behind this guy in the dark bent over her jewelry box or her silverware box trying to steal her silverware. And she don't know what to do. So she just says, Acts 2:38! And he just freezes. She calls the police and they come in and they arrest him. Say, why didn't you run? He said, man, she had an axe in 2:38, so I wasn't running. I wasn't moving. Security. We need security. We need to feel safe. And God preserves us from our enemies. Listen to verse 7. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. At any moment, temptation could come. Again, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. How can we hope to live for God? The answer, again, lies with the Holy Spirit, with God's help. Because see, when we're saved, He moves in. When we're saved, He moves in. Don't ask me what He does. Don't ask me how He works. That's not our business. But when He comes with all the resources we need to overcome temptation and to say no to sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. You're tempted with things that everybody's tempted with, and with every temptation, God will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So don't think you have some unique temptation that nobody else has. No, you don't. You have the same temptations that other people deal with. And if they can overcome, you can overcome. God's the one who provides the means to do that. He is the security of our help. He's the one who preserves us from evil. And then, finally tonight, we're preserved for eternity, folks. Eternity. God provides for us through eternity. We have an assurance that heaven is going to be our home, not because we're good, but because God is good. Not because we've got our religious ducks in a row, but because of God's matchless grace. We have, who have obeyed the gospel, we who have put on Christ in baptism, we who have come to God humbly submitting to His will, making Him the God of heaven and earth, making Him our God, our Father, our Lord and Master. We who have come to Him and have been redeemed by the blood of His Son. We have a promise from God that He will never leave us nor forsake us. We have a promise from God. He will not put more on us than we can bear. We have a promise from God that all things are going to work together for our good. We have a promise from God that if we will remain faithful to the end, He will take us home. We have a promise from our Lord that if we'll confess Him before men, He'll confess us before our Father in heaven. We have a promise from God that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have a promise from God that if we will walk in the light and do what's right, the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin without end, without fail, without ceasing. We have that promise from God that heaven will be our home if we will hang on and not give up. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how good we are at it or how bad we are at it. If we are at it, if we are at it, heaven will be our home. It's only that home for those that obey the gospel. It's only that home for those who come to Jesus on His terms and become His children, who come into the body of Christ, who come into the kingdom of God. They're the only ones that have access to this promise. But the promise is there. It's not once saved, always saved. Anybody can turn their back on God. Anybody can walk away from God. And God's not going to force you to go to heaven if you don't want to go. But those that are trying, those that are committed to doing His will, we have His promise that we will make it if we don't faint. Amen. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not faint. So folks, it's worth it. And you're not doing it alone. You have help from above. The help from God Himself. He is preparing us for eternity. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. That's verse 8 of this beautiful psalm. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth forevermore. You have this wonderful promise from God. I'm so thankful this evening that God has given us these promises. I'm so thankful this evening that God has given me these promises for my journey. What about you? I'm glad that I don't have to look to this ever-changing world for help. This world that's such a mess. This world that seems to be getting worse and worse and worse, and it doesn't matter what country you're in. It's still just getting worse and worse. But I don't look to this world for help. I don't look to this world for comfort. I don't look to this world for stability. I look to God above, and He's the one who's promised that help. I'm so thankful that there's a God in heaven who cares about everything that happens in my life. Aren't you thankful that there's a God who cares about everything that happens in your life? I know you are. He cares about the burdens we bear. And our burdens are His burdens, and our problems are His problems, and our worries are His worries. And so it's my duty to trust Him, and it's His duty to take care of me. And God will do His duty. Will I do mine? Will I trust Him? Will I obey Him? Do you need God's help tonight? If you do, we invite you to come. The invitation is yours. The opportunity is yours, and the decision is yours. If there's a way we can help you tonight, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing.